Fellow Freedom fans are back. David Allen Carmichael, yes, here. And you heard all about it. Thank you, Bethany, for that wonderful intro. I got to tell you, Bethany is the voice on there. And I tell you, what a great young lady. She's out doing a biblical worldview camp. She's finished her junior year of college and is off doing a camp for high schoolers all over the country, here and there, everywhere, where she's taking people and talking about the issues of the day on a biblical basis. Isn't that crazy? Now, some of you say, well, you bunch of kooks. Well, I'm telling you what, we really are. I'll tell you why this is an advantage for everybody, no matter what your persuasion. Again, the number here, 888-850-1872, 888-850-1872. The reason why this matters to everybody, no matter what your persuasion, we've got a persuasion that ultimately is a benefit to you. It's a persuasion that there are fixed and invariable laws that we go back and because of good faith and making sure we're right before Almighty God with regard to our conscience and government, we go back and reread things. There was a sermon that was sent to the founders as they were writing the Declaration or deliberating over the Declaration of Independence, because a vast majority of it had already been written and even approved in one of the states or one of the colonies. As we go back and I look at one of these written sermons called The Right to Rebel. And one of the things in this thing was trying to tell these guys who said, well, how can we rebel against an authority? And they had the challenge, well, what is the authority? And the conclusion was the authority is the fixed and invariable law that comes ultimately from Almighty God. And that's what they understood. And as I read earlier from a case of 1772 from Virginia, where it said that the laws of nature are the laws of God, whose authority can be superseded by no power on earth. That's what they understood. A legislature must not obstruct our obedience to him from whose punishments they cannot protect us. All constitutions, that's all laws of men, and their constitutions which contradict his laws, we are in conscience bound to disobey. And that's from a court case back in 1772. Bound to disobey. So really they understood there's authority of fixed and invariable law, and that men who go contrary to that, even if they're the legislature, and they are the legislators, that those who see these supposed laws or acts of legislatures, the person who see it, and because of their conscience, they have a duty to disobey. That would be the threshold of civil disobedience, where you're pushed just so far to the point where you think, you know, I'd be literally in sin if I did that. I'd be violating God if I obeyed this. And so there's some things I think it's pretty clear that just about most people have some threshold where they go, you know, I can't, that's just wrong. And even now, hey, even if you claim to be an atheist, I guess, you know, there's a point where the courts are even saying, well, they've got this innate law of nature that God ordained and designed in them, even if they consider themselves an atheist, that even there with their rational mind, the law of nature, they know that that's a threshold that they can't go beyond. So at that point, the power of the sword has no power, as far as the founding fathers understood. I use that term just because that's something I think people understand. The people that basically chartered the government of this nation, is they understood that there's a place that you can't be taken further than because of your conscience, that they understood that Almighty God put in you. Now, whether you believe that or not, doesn't matter. I'm just encouraging that you're going to get a benefit if you truly have somebody in good faith is operating under a Christian conscience and are really truly going to hold themselves to that standard. And that's what I try to do here is if you can give me a call at 888-850-1872 if you want. I really want to go back to that reference. We talked about Gene MacArthur and his case. And again, because I've deliberately visited Gene MacArthur in his situation. I actually physically visited him and talked to him about this and found out what his situation is. He's a guy who's cut off from his livelihood at the age of roughly 60. Okay, now when this happened, he was younger than 60, but this has been going on for a couple of years now. And he doesn't have the power because his, you know, six-figure, potentially six-figure income and supporting his family, doing whatever the needs he's got to do, the things that he would normally be obligated to do to love his family and take care of them, have been cut off from him. Suddenly he finds himself at the what some people would be getting ready for retirement, cutting up completely from his livelihood and arbitrarily, because he will not forsake his faith. That's really what it comes down to. Admit heresy and, you know, violate this New Testament biblical principle, or we will cut you off. And it's merely administrative convenience that is arguable, but nonetheless, because we're the state, we're cutting you off. Folks, these religious fanatics, these Christian extremists, who are actually nice, gentle people who don't kill people, they just love their neighbor as himself, they're really there fighting and sacrificing ultimately for your benefit. And usually these freedoms that we have always come at a cost of somebody who had a fortitude, who had faith, and who suffered because of what they knew what was right before God, and they were accountable to God, and they realized ultimately there's going to be a judgment day. Because they stood, everybody else has benefited. I've benefited. You know, whether you agree or not with Martin Luther, when he put up his little thesis up on the church doorpost, you know what it did? It enabled others to have liberty. Now they say, hey, man, this is what the Bible says. What if what you say is contrary to the Bible? If God authored the Bible, aren't I accountable to making sure that I do what's in the Bible? Even if I've got a club of 12 experts over here, I disagree with them. I have to operate in good faith. He was a guy who was one of the people that made it so that people could be held accountable to what they understood was their duty before Almighty God, in spite of what the popular mode was. So that's our perspective here. The Liberty Works Radio Network is here just for that reason. We've got guys, and again, people who say, well, normally you can't talk like this on commercial talk radio. You can't be too Christian. I'm telling you, if I'm not, folks, that's why we're falling apart. You know, you've got guys in the mainstream multi-million dollar talk show guys that just keep regurgitating stuff that doesn't have ultimately a substantive reference. They can say conservatism. It's just an ism. That's just one swing off center on life's political pendulum. That's all conservatism is. One swing off of center from political issues or viewpoints. The pendulum swings in a whole lot of areas. In fact, there's this other word for a pendulum that kind of swings around in a circle as the earth turns. So it kind of goes in all directions. If you go to the observatory and watch it, it'll knock down all the pins and you can tell what time it is of the day or something like that. But we've got to get to some kind of reference. So what's your reference? What's your threshold? What are you doing? I was reviewing some giving. You know, when people tell the IRS how much money they give to charity, they're getting an earthly reward. See, they're going to get a tax deduction on the basis of what they report. Of course, so they're out. I guess they feel pretty comfortable about telling the world what kind of charitable giving they've been giving. Well, there are certain people that happen to be in office right now that in the times past have made lots of money and given an extremely small percentage of what they made. Even though they made more than they really needed, they gave a very small percentage of what they had. Until they started becoming popular and becoming scrutinized for their giving, making more money, of course, and then increase their giving, but still a relatively insignificant amount compared to the total that they get. So that's been made public. And some of those same people are demanding that people submit to the power of the sword to take their money, to give to the poor. Well, put your money where your mouth is, politician. Where were you giving when it was in your power to do so without the sword? So I have to challenge each of us to put our money where our mouth is in stuff. Put our calorie burning where our mouth is. Do we just sit back? I mean, how much are you paying for cable TV? Are you giving the same amount that you give to the cable TV company for your own comfort? How much are you giving to those who really are out there fighting for ultimately the liberty of your grandchildren and don't have the ability to really get a physical reward for it. So I think in the old school days that we're trying to instill in people's hearts and mind is, we should be doing that, not the government, not yielding authority or power to the government, who can be led by corrupt people who are getting paid by tax dollars. Not everybody's going to be corrupt, but I'm telling you, there are going to be some that are corrupt. So wouldn't it be better for you and me to do what we need to do for the sake of our neighbor? Ultimately, it's going to affect us and our posterity. I did see we check out the news, so there's always reports of the types of people in our society that are actually giving to these causes. And I was, most of us here on Liberty Works Radio Network, we're not a Democrat, we're not a Republican. We're trying to be as true to our conscience as possible without any political affiliation, because ultimately we want to be able to hold people we interview accountable to the issue and not our political ties. That's ultimately our goal. Okay? Make sure this is truth in broadcasting. But I was I was impressed when they published our former president's giving. His percentage, I mean, it was above the tithe. So the guy put his money where his mouth is, and that's very impressive. Now, of course, he's gotten his earthly reward because he made it public for tax purposes and things like that, I guess. But once you do that, it becomes public. Now, constitutionally, I guess you can do that. It goes back to the common law and even parliamentary law, where they enacted protection of the tithe because it had secular benefits, as well as it's possible that first 10% they can't tax anyway because it's not theirs to tax. But that was one of the viewpoints back in 1601 when a statute was passed in England over that. But biblically, in Matthew chapter 6, it says to give in secret. So even, I mean, that's the kind of weird things we can talk about here on the show. Maybe we'll come back and deal with that on a different occasion. It's even possible, most people don't have the, I'd say, audacity to give to charity and do it secretly. That's a very difficult thing for men these days, is to give without getting that little buffer off their tax thing. You could justify it, say, well, yeah, but you know, I could be giving more to charity because I'm getting this tax break. Well, yeah, that's true. That's very true. But it also could be that you never know if you gave in complete secret that your income may double next year. I don't know. You know, give in secret and you'll be rewarded openly. That's what Jesus said. So we're Christian extremists. We think goofy stuff like that. And we think that it's very necessary for us to give our lives and pour out our lives for our neighbor. And you're my neighbor. So I think it's important for me to pour my life out for you. And at the same time, balance that with pouring it out for my family who's living with me, and make sure we're taking care of them while we're taking care of our neighbor, not to the exclusion of either one. So that's important to us here on Liberty Works Radio Network. Again, if you heard this story about Mr. Gene MacArthur, I encourage you to check out ChristianLiberty.org, ChristianLiberty.org, the American Christian Liberty Society. And there's some folks that are trying to get by in life without having to render a biometric identifier or a universal number or something like that to do those things that are necessary in the ordinary course of life, business, Christian ministry, or whatever it is you're doing. That shouldn't be what it is that determines whether or not you're allowed to live. And so they're trying to raise funds to pay that lawyer and their team who are working hard for Mr. MacArthur. And ultimately, they're going to be working hard for everybody in Texas. And ultimately, some of these things are going to pop up in Florida. Florida's got some of the same statutes. But unless you use it, you will lose it. I encourage you to join the Liberty Works Radio Network. I'm a member of the Liberty Works Radio Network. Go to my website, faithfreedoms.org, and check out our archives that you can link there to faithfreedoms.net. And we're going to be back serving you the best we can in an extreme sort of way.